Why you get more tired the more you try to remember. Lin Wan is 34, lives in Hangzhou, and works as a product manager at an internet company. One Tuesday at 7:40 in the morning, she stood at the kitchen counter, phone in hand, her head like a drawer stuffed with cotton, the three requirement changes from yesterday's meeting, the child's vaccination appointment, her mother's health check report, all jammed into the same spot. I was so afraid of forgetting things back then, so I crammed everything into my head, Lin Wan later told me. But the more I crammed, the messier it got. During meetings, a thought would suddenly pop up, pay the water bill. And my train of thought just broke. This is not poor memory, it is wrong usage. The capacity of working memory is extremely limited. As early as 1956, psychologist Miller gave the classic estimate, the meaningful units the brain can hold at once are only 4, plus or minus 1. Using your brain as a hard drive is like asking a browser that can only keep 7 tabs open to run the entire operating system. Lin Wan's turning point came in March last year. She began moving everything she needed to remember out of her head into a catch-all inbox, and sorted it once a week. 3 months later, she told me, I'm no longer afraid of forgetting, because I know it is waiting for me in my system. Cognitive science calls this cognitive offloading, outsourcing memory to a reliable external carrier. What this article does is explain the method clearly, how much mental energy it actually saves you, how to build it without crashing, and the step-by-step checklist you can start today. What external memory is, treat the brain as processor, not hard drive. External memory, simply put, is anything outside your body that can store information stably and be retrieved on demand. A sticky note, a note app, a voice memo, a whiteboard wall, all count. Its core is not storage but trust, you know it will definitely be there, so you dare to free your mind for other things. The closest metaphor is, the brain is a processor, not a hard drive. The processor handles computation, association, judgment, the hard drive handles long-term storage. Making the processor also serve as the hard drive continuously occupies its computing power, causing it to stall exactly when you need to think. Researchers from Harvard and the University of California ran a set of controlled experiments. When subjects knew information would be recorded automatically, their motivation to remember details in the moment dropped markedly, yet their accuracy on subsequent complex tasks was higher. This shows offloading memory is not becoming stupid, but giving scarce attention to more valuable things. The key distinction is the word trust. If you write on paper yet keep doubting will the paper get lost, then it is not real external memory, just another source of anxiety. A usable second brain must achieve zero friction writing, second level retrieval, stable structure. Miss one, and the brain will not hand over control. So the first principle of building a second brain is not how advanced the tool is, but do you really trust it? Lin Wan tried 4 apps and finally returned to the plainest combination, precisely because she trusted that combination most. Trust is what lets you forget. Professional analysis. How big are the benefits of cognitive offloading? To argue the benefit of memory outsourcing, start with a set of magnitude data. The forgetting curve experiment by German psychologist Ebbinghaus in 1885 showed, new information retains on average only about 34% after 24 hours, dropping to about 20% by day 7, and almost nothing without review. This is the baseline retention rate of relying purely on the brain. Source type being classic psychology repeated recall experiment. Once the same content lands in an external memory system with a reliable index, retrieval cost shifts from recall from scratch to open and see. Estimating at 60 to-dos processed per day, about 15 seconds each to recall, relying purely on the brain costs about 5.5 hours per year. After outsourcing, it drops to about 0.4 hours, saving on the order of 5 hours of attention. Source type being task volume-based estimate, not a controlled experiment, labeled as illustrative magnitude. Look at the models. Cognitive offloading has 2 branches of explanation. One is the reduced load view, arguing that externalizing information lowers working memory occupation. The other is the metacognitive view, arguing that people make a cost trade-off between remember myself and rely on the system. The mainstream consensus is that both coexist. Offloading both reduces load and changes how you allocate attention. There are two identifiable real cases. One is the experiment published by Risco and colleagues in 2012. When subjects could rely on external recording, they were more inclined to hand memory tasks out, and overall task performance stayed stable or improved, called the inertia effect of cognitive offloading. The other is the building a second brain method system proposed by knowledge management practitioner Tiago Forte, adopted by tens of thousands of knowledge workers, whose core is the four-step code: capture, organize, distill, express. Naming framework comparison below. PARA, projects, areas, resources, archives, was proposed by the same author, emphasizing classify by action value. Code emphasizes flow from collection to output. Zettelkasten, Slipbox, was developed by sociologist Luhmann, emphasizing atomic cards and bidirectional links, suited to long-term thinking. The three are not mutually exclusive. Many use PARA for storage, code for flow, and Slipbox for deep writing. Actionable metrics are three. First, externalization rate of the new memory items produced this week. The proportion landing in the system should be at least 90%. Second, retrieval time.